things that are written down in the Old Testament that are examples for us to follow. Obviously, the doctrine of the Old Testament has to do with the law of Moses as contrasted and prophecy as contrasted to the mystery program given to the Apostle Paul. But there are Old Testament happenings that are great examples for us, and Paul mentions some right here. Verse 6, "Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh standeth taketh heed lest he fall. Now he's not talking about falling from salvation, obviously, there. But we have to remember that the nation Israel, they did fall. They were God's chosen people. And throughout their history, they had a problem, as we do today, with our flesh. And they had a problem with their flesh. And they lusted after fleshly things. They lusted after idolatry. And Paul said all of these things were written, they happened to them and were written for our admonition. So I want us to look this morning at the lust that, or the word lust, and think about lust as it is pointed out here. He said in verse 6 that they lust, that we should not lust after evil things. Now, that tells me that the tendency would be for us to lust after evil things. The word lust simply means to desire something greatly. We generally think about it, if you just hear the word, generally think about it in a sexual connotation. But lust goes to the fact, or lust can be involved in anything that involves the desires of the flesh. And there are things that we may lust after that are not necessarily bad or evil, but there are some that we lust after that are bad and are evil. And Paul says we need to be careful that we don't lust after evil things. If you hold on here, we're going to come back. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now, I always like to point out, we'll start in verse 18. I always like to point out when we talk about things like this, that number one and primary above everything else is the fact that our salvation is by grace through faith. When we are saved, we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Our standing before God is sanctified, justified, glorified, forgiven, holy, without blame, reconciled to God, and so forth. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So when it comes to our salvation, really sin is no longer the issue. The sin issue was taken care of 2,000 years ago at Calvary when Christ died for all of our sins. Colossians 2:13 says, "He's forgiven you all trespasses." The good news of the gospel is that Christ died for us. He became our sin there on the cross. As he says there in verse 21, "He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So God sees us as righteous today. He no longer sees us in our sin. But back in verse 20, Paul says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." We are ambassadors for Christ. And while our life, our manner of life and the things that we do can never affect our standing before God Almighty, our ambassadorship can certainly be affected by that which we do in this flesh. It's like if a man is sent from this country, and let's say he's going into a country that's somewhat hostile to us, and he's an ambassador to that country. He has to guard against becoming overly friendly, overly attached to that society that he's now a part of. Why? Because he's representing us. He's representing the United States of America. And he is always to put forth the philosophies and the views and the doctrine, if you will, of our country and not compromise that which is believed and which is the foundation for which he was sent there. We are ambassadors for Christ. The Bible says that we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul said to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. So spiritually, we're already there. We're already seated together in heavenly places. Spiritually speaking, as members of the body, we're already one with Christ. But that's all spiritual. We're down here in a body of flesh. And we are here as His ambassadors. As a matter of fact, the church, the body of Christ, really is the presence of God Almighty upon the earth. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. You know, a lot of times people get this idea that the Holy Spirit's like something out there in the air floating around. And, you know, how people talk about they went to a church service and the Spirit really fell. I'd like to go to one of those services. I'd like to see what Spirit looks like when He falls. Now, I've seen people fall out, you know, under the Spirit, supposedly. That's just a bunch of, that's just a bunch of unscriptural nonsense, folks. The temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, the Holy Ghost, God Almighty, indwells you as a saved individual. Therefore, we are equipped to go out and to form this ambassadorship that God Almighty has given us. In doing that, we are to be warned not, or we have been warned not to lust after evil things. Why? Because lust brings forth sin. John wrote about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You look at something, you desire it. Now, I know that when we think about lust, generally we think about it in a physical sense. And there is a physical lust that we're going to talk about in the Bible. But it's very easy also to lust after things. You see, some of the things Israel lusted after were not really bad things. Let me give you an example. Look in verse 6, it says, "These things are our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things." We'll go back to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11. This is the murmurings that we read about over there. They start in Numbers 11, verse 1. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it." Next time you start to complain about something, remember that verse. You know, it's easy, folks, particularly as you get older, it's easy to become a complainer. Always complaining about something. I was on the Facebook the other day, and I said, "Here's another rant." And first thing I knew, I'd put something on there about something that had bothered me, you know. And it's all, you know, it's real easy to get in that habit of just being negative and complaining about everything. Well, look on the bright side. He said, "The people complained. It displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp." Don't complain. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel, who wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soil is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Think about that. God Almighty had given them the provision of food, and yet they're complaining about it. And they said, We don't like this manna. We want to go back over there and eat the melons and the cucumbers and the fish and the meat that was with Egypt. Well, there's nothing wrong, you see, with what they desired as far as wanting the food. That wasn't the issue. The desire was to be back under the system that provided that. Now, in that, there's a great lesson. You know, when you become a Bible church, sometimes people think that you ought not to do anything like religious people do. I've had people complain, you know, about or make statements about, well, your church is, you go in there and it's no different than any other denominational church. You sing and you take up offerings and all that kind of stuff. So? You say, well, anything wrong with the food? There's nothing wrong with certain things. It's the system that they wanted to be part of. They wanted to go back into bondage. And when you desire and lust after evil things to the extent you want to go back under bondage, then that's where the problem lies. Because I think most all of us could agree that we came out of a religious system of some sort that had us in bondage. And it doesn't make any difference whether it was a Roman Catholic or Church of Christ or whatever you might want to call. I mean, that's not the issue. The issue is, if you came out of a system that told you you had to perform, you had to do something in order to find God's favor, you had to walk down an aisle or be baptized or repeat a prayer or confess your sins, if you had to do anything to be saved other than trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, that system lied to you. It's a lie, because salvation is by grace through faith. Now, go back there to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 again. He said, Neither be ye idolaters, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 10, Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. So there's the lust to be in idolatry. That's one of the lusts of the flesh. Look back in over in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5. I talked to a man, I guess it's been about a year ago, and that man's testimony was that he had been in the charismatic movement for many years. And I'm just conveying, you know, the idea, the point's not to berate anybody, folks. It's just, I've used this illustration because this is the words that came from this man's mouth. He said he'd been in the charismatic movement for years, and he always knew that there was something wrong there. It just never did ring true to him, but he remained a part of it. And he said he saw began to see the fallacy of the speaking in tongues and the healings and all that kind of stuff that was supposedly going on. And about that time, he got a hold of some information written by Cornelius Stamm and began to read it, Things That Differ. And as a result of that, ended up getting saved. And is now teaching and preaching Right Division. But that man told me, he said, it was almost, he said, when I left that system, as bad as I knew it was, he said, it was almost like having withdrawals. He said, man, I missed the physical, fleshly stuff that I'd been a part of. And I thought, wow, that's strong, isn't it? The lust of the flesh that we generally associate with fleshly things that the world looks at as sin, is not the only lust of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, notice there in verse 13. Look first in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now I wish that verse was as easy to perform as it is to read. I had a man send me an email. I might have mentioned this last week, or it might have been Sunday night. You just have to forgive me for repeating, folks. I can't remember where I told it. I mean, I don't know if it was in Kentucky, I told it or whatever. But anyway, I received an email from a man, and he was asking me, he said, Brother Steve, I've been saved for a short time, and I really am understanding the truth about rightly dividing and all that kind of stuff. He says, but I've got a question. He says, I've got some things in my life, some habits in my life that I've not been able to conquer. He said, could you help me? And my desired response was to write back and say, no, I can't. If you find the answer, please get back to me. Not to be smarter with him, but simply, listen, folks, the lust of the flesh is there on a continual basis. And it doesn't change just because you get saved. How do I know that? Paul says, walk in the Spirit. So we're given the mechanism whereby we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the problem is doing it. Walking in the Spirit. Notice verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. That means that the flesh is going to always desire that which is contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit of God, through His Word, will tell you what He desires of you. The lust of the flesh is going to always try to counter that by saying, there's a better way. You remember what the Bible says over there? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. You see, it doesn't matter whether you're a young person, medium, old, or whatever, you're confronted with the lust of the flesh. And at the time you're confronted with it, your mind many times will convince you that that's the thing you ought to do. And even if it doesn't say you ought to do it, it says it's okay to do it. After all, you're saved by grace, and therefore, if you've got these lusts of the flesh, don't worry about it. Well, the Bible says the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other. And he goes on to say, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Well, you know what that sounds like. Go back to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7. Look there in verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Now, Paul's just told them back up in verse 6, we're delivered from the law. Verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Then covetousness is lust. Thou shalt not covet. That's that one commandment that the Lord put in there that covers everybody. I mean, you know, you got some self-righteous people say, well, I've never committed adultery and I've never told a lie, which would be a lie. But anyway, you know, I've never murdered anybody. And they go through all the commandments, But when you get down to thou shalt not covet. Now, what do we just read over in Galatians? So that you cannot do the things you would. You're going to covet certain things. You're going to lust after certain things. That's what covetousness is. As a matter of fact, I did a study about a year ago where Paul talks about covetousness, which is idolatry. But notice what Paul said in relation to all this. Look in verse 14. He said, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it," here's the problem, "but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." You see the struggle that's going on there? The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." At that point, you want to say, "Can I get an amen?" Because we all have been there. "The good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." That's the lust of the flesh. That's the flesh warring against the spirit. That's the fact that they are contrary one to the other. The lust of the flesh. This lust of the flesh starts in the heart. Look back in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness," notice now, "through the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Well then, it's a heart problem. Go back to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Say, but our heart, isn't our heart changed whenever we're saved? Your heart's changed if you had a heart transplant. But see folks, the thing is, I understand the Bible says for him being in Christ, he's a new creature. But Paul also says, put on the new man, which is after created in God, after true holiness and righteousness and so forth. You see, we are not robots. We are not supernaturally overtaken by the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit when we get saved. We are walking around with a free will. And we can either choose to do that which is right according to the Word of God, or we can rebel against it. We can either walk in the Spirit, or we can walk and fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when we fulfill the lust of the flesh, it hinders our ambassadorship. Doesn't change our relationship one iota with the Lord, but it affects our ambassadorship. It affects our life in many ways. It can bring about physical consequences, but doesn't change our salvation at all, because we're sealed under the day of redemption. Well, I want you to notice this thing about the heart. Notice in Mark chapter 7, he said there in verse 20, and he said, "That which cometh out of the man defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts," there's that word again, "covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things, by the way, there's 13 of them listed there. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So when Paul talks about the lust of the heart in Romans chapter 1, verse 24, he said the lust of their own hearts. It's the lust that comes forth from the innermost being. It manifests itself in the lust of the flesh. Notice over in Titus chapter 2, Paul refers to it as worldly lust. Titus chapter 2. Titus 2 verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, notice now, and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So there's that lust of the flesh, there are worldly lusts, there's the lust of the heart. It all centers around one thing, folks, that is desiring that which is contrary to the will of God and the Word of God. The spirit, the flesh lusteth against the spirit. They're contrary one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that we would. How are we then to do it? How are we then to walk worthy of the vocation where we're called? According to the Word of God. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Look in Ephesians 4. As you've received him, so walk you in him. How do you receive him? By grace, through faith. Paul said we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, the pull of religion, the pull of the world, the pull of Satan himself is always to do that which is contrary to the Word of God. Why? Because he can't affect your salvation. If you're saved, you're sealed in the day of redemption. The devil, number one, he wants to keep people from getting saved. Thus, the Bible says he's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. After a person's saved, it's not like the devil can come along and overthrow their faith and kick them out of the body of Christ and Christ will recondemn them. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Well, when you sin, what's God going to do? Recondemn you? No. You're still part of the body. You're still in Christ. Satan can't do anything about that. Well, we read last Sunday night about in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said there are those that are going to depart from the faith. And we pointed out in that study that in order to depart from the faith, you'd have to be in the faith. Now that's where the devil's at work today. You see, if he can get us sidetracked, if he can get our mind on that which is worldly, and when I say worldly, you need to understand, I'm not just talking about worldly things like alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, pornography, and that kind of, I'm talking about the religious system of this world is a worldly system. Worldly lust. He says in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 1, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You see, one of the greatest tactics the devil has is to divide and conquer. Thus you have unity mentioned here. And what do we read over there in Galatians? Well, let's just flip back over there because, you know, folks, there's some things going on in the body of Christ that the devil is just right in the middle of. And people seemingly can't see it because they won't acknowledge it. The Bible says in Galatians 5:15, it's interesting that this is right in here. We're talking about the lust of the flesh. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. There's a tremendous amount of division and dissension today among the members of the body of Christ. And I want to tell you something. The author of all of that is Satan himself. And you can walk around, you know, with your little chicken breast stuck out all you want to and think you're spiritual. But when you allow that kind of thing to take place and you are part of it, then you are subject to the devil himself. Take heed, he said. To the doctrine, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And don't be involved in that which the devil would have you involved in, the lust of the flesh. You know, almost every time there's ever been an argument or a disagreement among people, it's because one person desired something that somebody else didn't. We want to be right. I like the fellow that asked the question one time, you want to be right or you want to be happy? When it comes to marriage, sometimes you just have to decide you want to be happy. And I'm not talking about just marriage, I'm talking about relationships in life. You know, sometimes you just have to suffer the wrong in order to maintain the relationship that God desires us to maintain. It's not always, and the reason I'm saying this, folks, is because this is something I struggle with continually. How many times I've been on that computer and gotten an email or seen something and I just immediately shot back a response and later thought, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Walk in love. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. All these things were examples, he said, that we might not lust after evil things. I don't know what the desires of the flesh are that you have, but I know that I have them. I know Paul had them. And I know there are things that are detrimental to the work of our ambassadorship, and there are things that will hinder us if we allow them to do so. And so what do we need to do? Rein them in. Walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Before we look there, look in 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Another verse I want you to look at here. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now notice. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I'd say it's here. Notice what he says, though. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Well, then, we're not talking about somebody here down in a bar room. We're talking about somebody that's in a place and their ears are itching and they want somebody to tickle them. They want somebody to scratch them. They have itching ears. And he said, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the works of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. We're driving home last Sunday, I think it was, and we passed several churches going home, and parking lots emptying out, and hundreds of people. And Mary said, just look at all of those people. Now, there's other churches, I understand, that preach truth. But you know what, folks? You got a big orchestra up front. You got all the entertainment and all that kind of stuff. And then the preacher gets up and tells stories and motivational speeches and all that kind of thing. What is that? Tickles the ears. It's what people want to hear. But you take the Word of God and rightly divide it and preach the gospel of the grace of God and the truth of the Word of God rightly divided. instead of going out singing, "Oh, hallelujah," many times it's "Oh, me," because we realize how frail and how lustful we are as a people. The Word of God has a convicting power. So he said their lust, after their own lust, they heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's the lust that begins in the heart. It's called the lust of the flesh. Paul talked to Timothy about fleeing youthful lust. He said in Titus chapter 2, there's worldly lust. And then there's that lust that desires. People desire things to tickle their ears. Notice back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drank and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." We read about that. You see, here's the good news. These things are in samples for us. But the fact is when Paul says, "Wherefore let him think he standeth, take heed lest he fall," he's not talking about falling from salvation. Why? Because we're in the dispensation of the grace of God. We're saved by His grace. Well, then why do we fall? Our ambassadorship is affected. And we are never to think that we don't need the instruction and the admonition of the Word of God. That's why we assemble together. That's why we study. That's why we teach. It's because we continually need the edification of the Word of God, the building up, the instruction, so that our eyes would be turned to the truth and not away from the truth, so that we would not lust after evil things and lust after that which is satisfying to the flesh, whether it be religion or anything else, and we would stay true to the Word of God and not lust after these evil things. Israel had a terrible outcome as a result of their lust. Can I say to you this morning, folks, with all sincerity, that when we lust after evil things, there's also a bad outcome. It's not God bringing judgment upon us. He said, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption." You see, most of the things that happened to us in this world as believers, the bad things, are either things that are absolutely unpreventable, disease, health issues, and so forth, and the other one is generally a result of bad decisions that we make, most of which we make as a result of the lust of our flesh, lusting after evil things. Thank God this morning that our salvation is secure. It's secure in Christ. If you never trusted Him, you ought to do that. You ought to understand that Jesus Christ died for you and accept the free gift of salvation. And if you're saved, you need to remember what Paul said over there in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, when he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's only reasonable that we do so. All of these things are for example, that we might not lust after evil things. Would you stand me for prayer?